We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. Day two here in La Crosse is day one was fantastic. So if day two ends up being the exact same way as yesterday, man, I will be a happy guy. But what a night last night we had out and about. Sloopy's was fantastic. And thanks to everybody for coming out. We'll talk to the people in La Crosse who come on the network coming up here shortly. However, last night, big night. I get back to the hotel room and I sit down because during the appearance last night, sitting there watching the Brewers game. The Brewers game was on, and we're kind of checking out what's going on over our heads, so to speak. And you have got to the Milwaukee Brewers, and I'm trying to pay attention to it. The Brewers last night taking on the Houston Astros, and what a game. What a game. Brewers get a nice win last night. Oh, my goodness. What a game that was. Had so much fun watching the Brewers come back. Moustakas with a big home run, gets the knock, wins the ball game last evening, and they get a 6-3 win in 14 innings over the Houston Astros. So, fantastic night last night to watch the Brewers come back. Hey, it was even Jesus Aguilar. Now, they didn't call it an error, but he hit a rocket last night. He hit a rocket last night and ended up driving in a run as well, even though it was an attempted backhand by the shortstop who couldn't come up with the play. But he hit a rocket last night, even drove in a run. So, Jesus Aguilar was credited with a RBI late in that ballgame also. So Brewers get a nice win. They've got an off day. And that's what you wanted to do. You wanted to split because now they've got a series coming up with San Francisco and San Diego to round out this road trip. Both teams are very beatable. So if the Brewers can take their offense and continue kind of pounding out runs, get some better pitching, they could walk away with more than a few wins on this particular road trip. So you get to 4 or 5 wins here. Not a bad way to go. Brewers right now splitting with the Houston Astros, one of the best teams in baseball. Astros 46-23, Brewers 39-29, back to 10 games over 500. So you take it. You enjoy it. You revel in it. And last night, a good outing as well. The Brewers, as we wake up this morning, they're a half game ahead of the Chicago Cubs in the standings. The Cubs 38-29. They also won last night. As they kept pace, St. Louis, they took a loss, 33-33. They're sitting at 500, 5 games back. Cincinnati has climbed out of the basement, by the way. And they ended up getting a win, 30-36, 6 games under 500. But they continue to play better baseball, even though they're kind of out of it. They're not to the double digits yet, but they're 8 games back as of right now. And Pittsburgh has fallen into the basement, 8.5 games back. So a pretty good night for the Milwaukee Brewers, a good night pitching-wise. Hey, before we go further, I want to remind you that this portion of the program is brought to you by good friends over there at Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs reminds you, the Cubano is back, and it's for a limited time. So it's always good when you get a chance to get back into the Cubano season because you've got the Wisconsin pulled pork and Gouda as well. But try the Cubano with ham, Genoa salami, pulled pork, Swiss cheese, and a whole lot more. Or the Wisconsin pork and Gouda featuring the pulled pork, bacon, Wisconsin smoked Gouda cheese, onions, mayo, and Dijon mustard. You can order them online at CousinSubs.com. They're for a limited time, like I had mentioned. Delivery now available at select locations. That is Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. Adrian Hauser ended up getting the win last night. We all know that. However, it was a solid performance. Woodruff, 7 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs. That's a solid outing. And on a night like that, normally you'd say, man, thank you so much, Brandon Woodruff, because you saved the bullpen. Unfortunately, you had a tied ball game, so you had to go for a third of an inning to Claudio. You end up going an inning and 2/3 to Jeremy Jeffress, who struck out 2, didn't give up a run or a hit. He had a solid performance. Josh Hader, he does what Josh does, although Hader last night threw an inning clean, but gave up two walks, not a strikeout to his name. A little bit odd there because usually Hader's heating up and dropping a couple Ks in there. Junior Guerra comes in, and really, you talk about a solid performance. Three strikeouts, a couple of walks, but two innings of no-hit baseball. So Junior Guerra was extremely solid last night, and Adrian Houser comes in, gives up one hit. Last night, the bullpen gave up one hit, no runs, ended up with eight strikeouts on the night and six walks. Again, one hit, no runs, eight strikeouts, six walks. Solid performance last night. So there you go. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. How excited are you about that win last night? Oh, how the tide can turn in a day. Look, I still think the Brewers are one of the top teams in baseball. I'm not fret. Last night, there was a lot of people that kind of listened to the program yesterday and thought I was really down on the Brewers. No, I'm not down on the Brewers. I think the Brewers are a very good baseball team. I think the Brewers are going to be right there come the end of the season, and I think Brewers fever is going to, again, take over the state of Wisconsin and Brewers Nation. I think that the Brewers are going to be fighting for the headlines with the Green Bay Packers come September and October. I'm looking forward to all of that. I think they're a very good baseball team. I think that there's a couple of areas that they can get better, but last night, man, you take that. Going up against Justin Verlander, they put up four hits and three runs in seven innings. And Verlander last night, 15 strikeouts, and not a walk to his name. Normally, four hits, three runs, 15 Ks, and not a walk, that'll win you a whole lot of baseball games in seven innings. But last night it just didn't happen because Brandon Woodruff matched him pretty much pitch for pitch, and not strikeout for strikeout, but you know what I'm talking about. In the meantime, Radio Joe Zanzola back in our studios as I am here in La Crosse. Good night last night, Joe.
As in the Brewers?
Just in general. Brewers, watching Brewers baseball was a good night. I know that.
Yeah, I mean it was. I mean it was worth it staying up late watching that game and seeing Moose once again hit another home run.
Yeah, how about him? He's on a tear, man.
Yeah, no, another impressive win. And for those that understand or have some kind of idea to what the Jobber metrics are, Jobber metrics is basically a formula that I created that measures games that the Brewers either should have won but ended up losing, and vice versa, games that they should have lost but ended up winning. Last night's game was a perfect example of that. I just posted a link on my Twitter if you want to know what the hell I'm talking about. Just follow me at Radio Joe Sports. But
was last night, though, a game that they should have lost?
Yes, because based on the way the formula works, in the seventh inning, they were down 3-2. And part of the formula is if you are into the seventh inning or later and you're trailing in a game or you're winning in a game, you have to be able to hold it. You only have nine outs to get, so it's important for the back end of your bullpen to lock it down. But because the Brewers were able to get through Justin Verlander and then Eric Thames goes yard off of him to tie that game in the seventh, that forced extra innings, and then later on Mike Moustakas gave the Brewers a lead in the win. But that was a game, really, they should have lost based on the formula.
Yeah, that was, if you go by that, yeah, late in the ballgame, for Moose to come back and tie that ballgame up, I would agree with you. Last night, the Brewers... Thames tying up that ballgame, and then Moustakas giving them the win, but the Brewers plating a run in the seventh inning, and then going on from there. What a good night, though, last night. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free, give us a shout. We would love to hear from you. And we'll go ahead and take a few calls regarding the Milwaukee Brewers and excitement for last night. Yesterday on the program, I got to go back to this just because, but yesterday on the program, we had a fantastic discussion with Seth Everett. And when I was out last night, there was a lot of people here in La Crosse that were listening to that conversation that were saying they were riveted. They were just sitting there mesmerized by listening to Seth Everett talk about, you know, Major League Baseball security, some of the things that have happened regarding Big Poppy, obviously, you know, a fan favorite in Boston and to many, and ends up getting shot over the weekend. Now there's more and more graphic violence and video violence, I should say, coming out regarding that. You can literally see the shooter walking up behind him, shooting him, watching Big Poppy fall to the ground, people beginning to scatter. They've got the additional video now where the gunman was on a motorcycle talking to, you know, other men and other vehicles. There's six people now in custody. They're still searching for others now at this point. But yesterday, after listening to Seth Everett, that was the talk. People asking about why did Major League Baseball do something about this? Now, Because they were asking me, well, what's baseball going to do? What can baseball do? Baseball can't do anything at this point other than maybe what they know or working with the FBI and what they know. But he's out of baseball. I mean, short of being a commentator, Big Poppy's not a part of Major League Baseball anymore. He's retired. So baseball can't do anything. Maybe they can be looked at to say, hey, you know, you knew about stuff like this, but baseball has nothing to do with this anymore. I'm not blaming baseball for anything other than the fact that maybe they perpetuated a relationship by allowing certain people to be around one of their players. But you can't police literally every player in every market on every team for the people that they hang with. Even though you may know some of these guys are bad guys, if they're not doing anything at that particular time, it's the old adage of innocent until proven guilty. And you can't just start singling people out, you know. So I don't know why baseball would receive any blame. It is just an incredibly interesting side note that Major League Baseball was not, at least some officials inside of Major League Baseball, specifically Major League Baseball security, that they were not shocked that he got shot because of the people that he associated with. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to it yesterday, I highly, highly, highly recommend that you do, or go to Seth's podcast, but just find Seth Everett on Twitter. You can go back to the radio.com app and download that. You can get some of the downloads of the interviews that we do. You can always find our interviews by going to BillMichaelSports.com. But last night, if I had to sit here and say, what were some of the bigger questions last night when we were sitting at Sloopy's? That was one of them, that people were just riveted by the information coming out regarding Big Poppy and all throwing their hands in the air going, why didn't we know about this? And why didn't baseball or the FBI or anybody do anything about this for such a long period of time? And you're allowing some of these, as we had heard from Seth yesterday, this particular guy that Poppy said was his barber and refused to do the home run derby unless this guy was allowed on the field. Why is Major League Baseball allowing somebody of this reputation, we'll say, to put it kindly, why are they allowing somebody like this to be on the field where, you know, kids can look at him? And again, it's kind of a weak argument when you're talking about the kids, but why are you allowing this guy on the field of play, you know, in the home run derby at the All-Star game? So a lot of good questions last night, a lot of questions which I don't have the answer for, but I just thought it was a fascinating discussion. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to it yesterday, I highly recommend that you go back and listen to it today if you get a chance to. Maybe it's something you can do over your lunch period or maybe during dinner or driving home, but download it. Seth Everett discussing with us yesterday, Big Poppy on the program, and I thought it was a fascinating discussion. Anyway, that being said, last night, big win for the Milwaukee Brewers. We're going to continue to discuss that. And as the Brewers now head for the remainder of this West Coast trip, we talked about expectations going into the trip. What are expectations now that they have split with the Houston Astros? And what are your expectations? Where do you feel the Brewers should be by the All-Star break? Because this was another question last night. I thought that was interesting because there's some people that said, hey, you got to be 15, 16 games above 500, most likely to be in the thick of things and probably winning 92 to 96 games to be able to win this division. And it got me thinking last night. So I thought, you know what? Hell of a topic for today's program. Let's bring that to the people. Let's bring that to the Brewers fans that are sitting out there. Where do you think the Brewers need to be come the All-Star game? And where do you think this team needs to end up to win the division? Stay tuned. The Bill Michaels Show broadcasting live out here in La Crosse at our fine affiliate, WKTY Sports. We got more right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Moustakas drives one deep right center field. And there it goes! Mike Moustakas does it again. A two-run bomb, number 21. And the Brewers have the lead in the 14th inning.
What a night at the ball yard. Good time at the ball yard last night if you were a Brewers fan. I saw more than a few Brewers fans in Houston, Texas last night. As a moose goes yard, the Brewers get the win. They have an off day today and back at it coming up tomorrow as the Brewers now head on the road still as they continue their swing. They've got the West Coast swing coming up. They've got San Francisco on the docket, which will be a 9:15 start. A 9:15 start coming up on Friday night, so get ready for that. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. So Moose continues to pound the baseball. All right, Moustakas last night, 2-for-5. Obviously a big run driven in, a couple of strikeouts, a couple of RBI. Took a walk last night as well, hitting .278 right now on the season. Meanwhile, you got Travis Shaw, who just 4 strikeouts and 0-for-6. Not only the Golden Sombrero, but the Golden Sombrero Plus last night. 0-for-6. And Lorenzo Cain is struggling. Lorenzo Cain is down to .247. It's time to start talking offensively about Lorenzo Cain. Now, defensively, there's nobody that roams center field, in my opinion, that's better. So his defense makes up for a lot. But, man, last night between Travis Shaw and Ben Gamel struggled last night, obviously. Between Travis Shaw, Ben Gamel, and Orlando Arcia, they went last night 0-for-16. 0-for-16 with 9 strikeouts. It was a tough night for the bottom of the lineup last night. I mean, even Hernan Perez came in as a pinch hitter and went 0-for-2 last night. Jesus Aguilar, though, he hit that rocket that wasn't able to be fielded last evening. The shortstop Straw came in and played shortstop late in that ball game, and he tried to backhand it, and it hit off his glove, but they gave Jesus a hit. So he gets a hit, takes his average back to 195. Gets a hit in RBI last night, late in that ballgame. 855-830-8648. So, do you start looking at Mike Moustakas as a candidate for a longer-term deal? Maybe a 3-to-4-year deal and say, you know what? Moose might be a guy that we want to keep around. Is Moustakas a guy you say, okay, he's got power numbers, he's giving you average, you know? He's 30 years old. You give him maybe a 3-year deal. Take him to 33 years or something like that. 855-830-8648. And do you begin to think about cutting ties with Travis Shaw, who you traded for, who gave you some pretty solid numbers early on but has not done it consistently since? I think it's a legitimate question. Let's go to Mark listening to us in Wind Lake. Mark, how you doing? What's going on, man?
Hi, Bill. Just wanted to
hey, Mark.
Talk Brewers with you.
Yeah.
I think Moustakas should be set at cleanup hitter. I mean, the man's on fire. He has so much enthusiasm. He gets into the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he should just bat number 4 all the time.
He has come up clutch a lot. There's no doubt.
Right. Konsol's kind of juggling the line. And
Mike Moustakas has given them everything that you wanted. He's hit well. Doesn't matter who they throw at him. He hits a little bit worse against lefties, only hitting .264. But against righties, he's been deadly. It doesn't matter if it's home or away. His numbers are about the same. I mean, he's just been everything you've wanted. So, I think it's time to start talking about the possibility of giving Moose a longer-term deal. He certainly earned it.
Absolutely. Give him 3 years.
Give him 3 years. There you go. Appreciate it. 855-830-8648. Now, the one thing you can say is Moose, with runners on, okay, usually man on first, he bats a lot higher. He's hitting .309. Runners in scoring position, he's hitting .232. His numbers are actually worse than even Aguilar. Aguilar hits about .300 with runners in scoring position. Moose is hitting .232. But the power numbers are undeniable. So, also, here's something else to think about, because somebody had said, well, when he's playing second base versus third base, he hits a lot better. Not true. When he's playing second, he has 128 at-bats, he's hit .273. When he's played third, he's had 111 at-bats, he's hit .279. 6 points difference. That's it. Slugging percentage, OPS, all of that, very, very, very similar. Very similar. He hits .279 at Miller Park. Obviously having a good time right now at Minute Maid. By the way, when he goes on the road and plays the Pirates at PNC, .429. The guy's crazy good at PNC. For whatever reason, he's hit .429. But you got to look at Moose's numbers. You say, you know, right now when he's sitting here with 21 home runs, 45 RBI, he's got 50 strikeouts and 21 walks. His walk-to-strikeout ratio is actually not bad. how you know, 944 OPS, a slugging percentage of 598, an on-base percentage of 346, hitting 278. It's time. Talk to the guy. Talk to the guy about making him permanent, a permanent Milwaukee Brewer, not just a rental player anymore. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Ian, listening to us in Green Bay and WNFL up there. How you doing, Ian?
Hey, I'm having a great day, Bill. It's a nice sunny day here in the Holy City, and I'm geeked about that Brewers win. What a game. What a game. Not going to lie, my confidence was shaken after they got blown out 16-0 by the Miami Marlins. I really didn't know what direction the team was going to take, but man, that win last night was huge. I think that was a statement win, especially coming from behind. We haven't seen a lot of those this season, and I think this sets the tone very nicely for walking into California, and I think they're going to take the series against both the San Francisco and San Diego.
I'm excited about it. I'll agree with you. Appreciate the phone call. Hey, look, I'm sure last night, now I had left, I stayed at Sloopy's until a little after 9 last night. We had a terrific time. Did the Wisco Sports Show there, was there till 7, spent time with people after the fact. We had a really good time chatting with everybody, and ended up getting out of there about 9. But the place was still full, and people just glued to their sets watching that Brewers game. I got back to the hotel room. You could hear people in the hotel when Moose hit that shot, kind of erupt last evening. So there's a lot of people that are excited about this Brewers win. It's one win. I'm not getting over my skis. It's one win. But what you wanted was a split. It was one of those games that you really, really, really wanted on the road against a very, very good baseball team. So to take them to extra innings, to score against Verlander, to get good pitching, everything culminated. Your bullpen came in and just did the job last night. Everybody seemed to be throwing the ball pretty well. It was just a good win. You walked away. It's one game in a marathon of a Major League Baseball season. I'm not out over my skis. I'm not putting too much emphasis on it. It was just an incredibly good feeling to walk away from last night. You know? Can you just enjoy the win? Can you just enjoy the game? Can you just enjoy the moment and the play? And that's what last night kind of was. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Tyler on the east side. Tyler, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, Bill, how are we doing?
I'm looking good, buddy. What's happening?
So I know you wanted to touch on Moustakas long-term. I think you got to sit him down and kind of like you said, a three-year deal is what I'm kind of looking at right now. And you talked about, I know, Gamel and Arcia and Shaw struggling last night, but you got to realize this is one of the best teams in baseball there that we're going against here. And
sure.
They had Verlander on the mound, which had to do with the strikeout thing. But the bigger concern for me in all this, though, is like you said, Lorenzo Cain has been really just, I think, out of his element this year, not defensively. And it's kind of a similar situation as last year. Do you take the defensive glove versus the bat when you look at Arcia from last year and Cain from this year? So I kind of want to get your thoughts on that and where they kind of go with him rather than Moustakas, which I think is gonna be a deal forthcoming eventually. But I kind of want to hear your thoughts on what do you think Lorenzo Cain? What do you do with him?
Well, I don't think you do anything with him just because he's Lorenzo Cain. He's been so good for such a long period of time. Appreciate the phone call. I think that Lorenzo Cain, one, for what he gives you via the glove, deserves all the opportunities in the world to kind of work this thing out. His track record has been nothing but success. He's struggling right now. Some seem to think that maybe he's ailing a little bit, but I just watched last night, and I really watched Lorenzo Cain at the plate, dropping the knees, kind of a drop step when he swings. It just doesn't look like his legs are under him. He just didn't look good. Now, granted, it was later in the ballgame, and he, for lack of a better term, he was fishing a little bit last night. So he probably wasn't the best of at bats. He got struck out on a breaking ball really low and away that he had no business really swinging at, to be honest with you. But that being said, he doesn't look good at the plate right now. He's another guy that looks as if he's fishing a little bit. If that makes sense. He just looks like, you know, he just is really, really uncomfortable at the plate. So I let him try to figure it out. I let him try to figure it out because I think that he's still a very quality guy. I still think that he is he's going to be a cog. He's going to be a cog for you for a long, long time. Last night when James was throwing, as a matter of fact, when James was on the hill, he was the one that struck him out because Kane struck out swinging with that. Really, he just kind of reached and threw the bat out there. He just was fooled. And sometimes guys just get in a situation where they're overthinking it because he, you know, first pitch, four-seam fastball, 95, low and inside, and Kane had a step to it but didn't look strong doing it. And then ultimately ends up strikeout swinging on a slider that was about 85 miles an hour, low and away in the dirt outside, just kind of lunged at it. So anyway, long story short is Lorenzo Kane just doesn't look real comfortable at the plate, and hopefully he gets back into a little bit of a groove. Let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. Going to come back. Dan Miller, the voice of the Detroit Lions, as we start looking around the NFC North. That begins next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back, and we are so glad you are on board today. We are so happy you are here. I'm Bill Michaels, Bill Michaels Show, coming to you live from La Crosse, Wisconsin. We're on our affiliate visits. Our first one began yesterday here at WKTY, our studio's out here. And we're going to have our cigar dinner tonight, getting a lot of people asking for tickets. It's sold out, and it's sold out a while. I told you, I don't mean to say one of those, you know, I told you so's, but I told you so. It's sold out, so the cigar dinner's tonight. Over at Shenanigans. We'll see you over there. In the meantime, we begin our NFC North look around as mini camps are getting ready to culminate and everybody goes away for a few weeks until training camp gets underway. I can't believe we're talking about it already. But Dan Miller, the voice of the Detroit Lions, joining us, our good friend on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you?
We're doing well. So TJ Hockenson, he's a guy that's going to become a weapon very quickly for Matthew Stafford. How does the rest of the draft look for the Detroit Lions?
You know, I think that remains to be seen. You know, you can draw an opinion off what happens draft night, but I think it's really about seeing what these guys do out on the field. And I think they're excited about some of these guys and what they can do. But to this point, we've seen them running around in shirts and shorts and really haven't seen anybody hit. But I think they're excited about what their second-round pick, Jelani Tavai, can bring to their defense. He's a big linebacker, which is what they're looking for. You mentioned Hockenson. They're excited about him. I think Oruwariye, the cornerback out of Penn State, is somebody they want to get a look at. He's got some length, which is the kind of cornerback that they like. Drafted the Bryant, the defensive end out of Clemson. They think there's some versatility there. I think Will Harris, the safety, comes in at a position where they've got an opening this year, and there might be some playing time for him. So, you know, I think all of them, you can see the reasons that they picked them. But ultimately, and Matt Patricia is really, really one of those guys that won't hand anything out in terms of, you know, congratulations or great jobs to rookies. He wants to see him prove it, and that'll really start happening in August.
I've been looking at this roster, and as much as they've drafted, they've also, over the last couple of years specifically, they have gone out and got quite a few guys, whether it's unrestricted free agents, restricted free agents, trades, guys that they have brought in, hell, even some of the college free agents that they've got in. They're really doing everything they can to try to bolster this defense, aren't they?
They are, and that was, I think, year one of the major projects, and then year two, a couple of key moves that they've been able to make. Picking up Snacks Harrison in the middle of last season really turned that whole defense around. He is somebody that when he came in, the run defense automatically got better, and then by the end of the year, it was a top-10 defense statistically. They went out this offseason and picked up Trey Flowers. Really comfortable acquisition for Matt Patricia because he played in his system in New England. So I really think that was a focus for them to get better defensively, makes some sense considering Patricia's background. But I think also the offense this year, getting a new offensive coordinator, is probably to me the biggest question coming into camp is how quickly are they going to be able to figure that thing out and get to the point where they can be more consistent than they were a year ago.
Matthew Stafford carrying a lot of the weight, obviously the contract. People keep waiting for him to give you that big leadership bust-out year. I think he gets a little bit of a bad rap because he hasn't necessarily had everybody around him that's capable of getting the job done. So how much weight of either the failures or the successes of this team is Matthew Stafford carrying right now?
I think he's got some of it. You know, I think there have been opportunities where Matthew Stafford has been in position to win a division or you know, a couple times played Green Bay in the final game of the season and they couldn't win. And look, that's not all him, but I do think there are times where he could have played better. But I think also, you know, they've never really built the team around Matthew. They've, you know, not had consistently good defenses. They had a real good defense in 2014 that was probably, you know, right up there with any defense that they could win a championship. You know, not the Ravens, not the Bears, but a very good defense, historically good against the run. But they were the first-year offensive coordinator in Joe Lombardi who didn't work out. And that offense just really sputtered throughout most of that year. So it's like everything hasn't come together around him, but that's not to say that he doesn't have to carry some of that burden and some of that blame. It seemed like, you know, Jim Bob Cooter did some good things as offensive coordinator here, kind of took Matthew off the high wire, brought down his interceptions, brought up his efficiency. But it also seemed like it hit a ceiling. And that's where they felt like they needed to go out and get a new offensive coordinator, which they did with Darrell Bevell. I think Bevell's history says he wants to run the ball. It doesn't mean they're not going to throw it, but it does mean they're going to take some of the pressure off Matthew Stafford. Look, two things I'll say. One, they've tried the, hey, let's have Matthew throw for 4,500 or 5,000 yards, and it hasn't worked. And I think where Matthew's concerned, he's a talented player that I very much believe you can win with in this league. But regardless of where he was drafted, he's not Brady. He's not Breeze. He's not Rodgers. He's not one of those guys that can by himself just lift this whole thing up. He needs for the team to be better around him, and I think that's what they've tried to do defensively, offensively, and just to try to supplement what Matthew brings to the game.
Last year they were 25th overall offensively in points per game. When you start to look at that number on its face, you can say, wow, offensively they didn't do a whole lot. Some of this, though, goes to the defense and the ability to get off the field in timely fashion because they didn't have the ball as much as some of their opponents did. So, you know, we all say that, you know, the defense has to supplement the offense if you are an offensive-minded team. How much does Matt Patricia now really have his finger, his stamp, if you will, when they started remaking this defense? How comfortable is he that this defense is going to be that much better?
I think this defense should be pretty good, and I think he feels pretty good about it considering what they did last year. And I don't want to put words in his mouth because he never feels good about anything until it's done and put away. But I think this defense could be pretty good if you look at the way that they closed last year. And then adding Trey Flowers was a significant pickup for them. And I think that, you know, your point's well taken, but the offense also wasn't very good. I think they had to take a long, hard look at that after the season. They did. That's why they changed offensive coordinators, and that's why you have a new one here now. They didn't score enough points. They fell behind too often. They were playing from behind too often. Part of that is the defense, but, you know, it goes both ways. There's nothing saying that you can't score on your first two possessions and get up 10-0, and they just didn't do enough of that. And you know, oftentimes it goes back, Bill, to what we said. It's a total picture. It is they needed to get better across the board. An improved defense will lift the offense. An improved offense will lift the defense. And it just kind of gives you another side there to pick you up when you need it.
Talking with our buddy Dan Miller, the voice of the Detroit Lions, joining us for a couple of minutes in the Schneider Orange Hotline. Not the easiest of years, specifically the start for Matt Patricia. Has he become more comfortable in his own skin as the head coach?
I think anybody who goes through the first year in a job, if you're not better in the second year because you learned it, you're probably not doing it right. I think he'd be the first to tell you that you know, he's learned a lot of things since taking over. I think he's more comfortable with his staff. I think he's more comfortable with his roster, which makes, you know, you kind of more comfortable with yourself. I think he's doing some things differently this year. And I think just by virtue of having gone through something he's never been through before, he learned a lot. But the bottom line is winning. And he'd be the first to tell you about that. I mean, we can talk about how he dealt with the media or how he dealt with the players or how he dealt with it. It's about winning. And all of it revolves around that. And more than anything else, I think that's what they have to do this year. But, you know, I think one of the interesting things is, I know he came in late. Came in off a Super Bowl. A lot of head coaches were already in place. A lot of head coaches already had their staff. So we got a late start on that. He didn't have a lot of time to figure the roster out in terms of what he wanted to do. So I think 1 year helped him to illuminate the things that he wanted to change there. So I think there's a lot of things that would indicate that he should be and they should be better this year. I know the national picture for this team doesn't seem to be very good. I honestly think they're going to be better than a lot of people think that they are. I think that they could surprise some people this year. They need health. They need guys to you know, live up to the kind of potential that I believe they have. But I think they can be better than some people believe that they can. And I think his improvement as a head coach will certainly be part of that.
The division last year goes to the Bears. Do you think they repeat, or is this just a jumble now near the top?
I think it's a jumble. I really do. I mean, I think Chicago's a good team. I think they still have some questions. I think they're still trying to figure out exactly what they've got in that quarterback. It's obviously a good defense. Obviously can run the football. Those are two good places to start. I think Minnesota is still going to be a very good team. And as I said to you, every single time we've talked, as long as Green Bay has Aaron Rodgers, they're a threat. And I think, you know, Detroit has the opportunity to be a good football team this year. They got to go out and earn it, and they have to do it in a tough division. I'm not going to be surprised by anything that happens in this division this year. Green Bay has obviously gone out to put a lot of resources into that defense to try to bring that thing around. And it's, you know, there were times last year where, you know, obviously Rodgers wasn't healthy, and sometimes when I watched him, he just didn't look like himself. I have no doubt that a full off season is going to get him back and ready to go, and that means everything to Green Bay. So there's something to like about every team in this division, and you know, the thought of going to Minnesota and having to play against that defense is pretty brutal, and I think Cousins will be more comfortable there, and they'll get things back together and probably be a little bit better this year. So I guess it's going to be a heck of a division. It's going to be just, you know, a battle to survive, and somebody at the end of it's going to feel pretty good about winning that division and move on to a home playoff game and whatever else comes out of the playoffs after that. But I personally think it's wide open by way of, I think all these teams, you can draw up some reasons why they can be pretty good.
Dan, always great to talk to you. Enjoy the mini camps, the remainder of the offseason. Talk to you again come training camp, okay?
I appreciate it. I'm watching them practice right now. Got about an hour left, and then that'll be it for about 6 weeks. So everybody enjoy the break, and then we'll get going. It's going to be fun.
There you go, Dan Miller. Dan, appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Dan Miller, the voice of the Detroit Lions, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program. Going to be over at the Shenanigans tonight. Compliments of our friends over at Quick Trip. First cigar dinner of the year. And if you want to see where we're going to be coming up, go to TobaccoOutletPlusGrocery.com. That's TobaccoOutletPlusGrocery.com. Mike Moustakas, who I say it's time to give him a three-year deal, at least $13 to $15 million per year. That's about the area, maybe $39 million, $42 million, something like that for Moose over 3 years. He talks about his big blast last night.
Yeah, like I said before, Andy puts together a good plan, and you know, I've been feeling pretty good at the plate, and just try to not deviate from the plan and stay within myself, get a good pitch to hit, and just put a good swing on it and ended up getting out of the yard. And obviously, there's a big home run for us right there.
Justin Verlander last night, really solid. Moose reflects.
Yeah, you said it. I mean, it was just a grind all day. Obviously, you know, Verlander's record speaks for itself and what he's done in this game. And tonight, it was no different. He was exceptional tonight. And we did a great job battling against him and ended up getting a couple off him, which is always tough. And then our pitching staff did a phenomenal job. So, you know, kept the same approach and ended up getting a W tonight.
And then last night, also one thing was noted by Moose was they have so many contributors on this baseball team.
Yeah, that's huge. You know, every night is somebody different. You know, House did a great job coming in right there. You know, our entire bullpen did a phenomenal job. JJ got some huge outs for us. And, you know, each and every night is somebody different, and that's what's fun about this team, and that's why it's fun showing up to the yard every day.
That was Moose last night. Big blast gives the team the win. They have an off day today. Back at it again tomorrow. Coming up in the next hour, the guys that sit in these chairs in this studio every morning at WKTY here in La Crosse. We're going to start out this next hour with them. Dave and Scrady coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.